Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Welcome to Business Resolutions. I'm interviewing one of the members of our group here in Iran. I'm in the hotel, and this is our next to last day. I'm with Sheila Gallagher. Sheila. We got to know each other, so we're all, only on a first name basis from the beginning. Sheila is an attorney from Alaska, and one of the things I always found kind of interesting. You were born in Iowa, was it?
Iowa.
Mm-hmm. How did you arrive in Alaska? Which we're from Puerto Rico, with this group where you have Puerto Rico, Alaska, these two poles. How did you arrive in Alaska?
I went to Northwestern undergrad, then the University of Michigan Law School. And after law school, I was going to go work for a firm in New York, which no longer exists. But I got an opportunity to clerk for the Chief Justice of the Alaska Supreme Court. I went up for a year and liked it and stayed.
As simple as that.
I tell my friends my brain froze and I never left.
When your decision to stay in Alaska, what were the main factors? Because you were by yourself.
You were by yourself. Yeah, totally.
What attracted you to stay? What were the main factors
in making that your
home?
People were exceptionally friendly. Of course, it's an absolutely beautiful place. And mainly there was an opportunity to do anything I wanted to do, not have to be in the back room doing, you know, blue sky law or something for years and years and have client contact and just do my thing.
You thought that your role as a lawyer and a woman lawyer, you could move
faster,
further and quicker
in Alaska. That was true. I got sworn into the bar and had to run downstairs and I had my first case.
And you specialize in what area? Very broad or?
Well, I started out more broadly. I was the attorney at one time for the regional government in the school district. Then I went into private practice. I did a lot of business law, real estate law. Then when my husband got so sick, and I met him along the way, I do hearing officer work in special education and vocational rehab, and then I specialize in wills and estates and probate.
Okay, but there was also one portion of your practice, because by coincidence you ran into a couple here.
Oh, I did a lot of bond counsel work.
You did a lot of bond counsel, and very sophisticated bond counsel work for the state of Alaska.
That's right, and for the local government.
Yeah, local
when
government.
We were issuing all our GO bonds and revenue bonds. Yeah, I did a lot of bond counsel work in conjunction with a firm in New York and another in Seattle.
And so, and it happened to be the firm that,
that
Tom and Kathy
had worked for at one time.
At one time, not where they are now. So
no.
That was incredible.
They couldn't believe it when I said something about Hawkins Stellafield. They said, "What?"
And of course, it's clear that your decision to stay in Alaska, you have absolutely no regrets. That was a fantastic decision.
It was a fantastic decision. You know, I might have made more money if I'd gone to New York and practiced, but I wouldn't have had as much fun or as many different experiences.
And you also took advantage of the wildlife in Alaska. You had a tremendous outdoor adventure. I think you mentioned you had a seaplane.
Four planes.
You had three planes at one time.
Well, my husband and I together had three planes. I had single engine land, a little Cessna 150.
And you were the pilot? The pilot? It was tremendous.
And he had a Super Cub on floats and a Super Cub on the big Tundra tires. So we had it covered.
you could go anywhere in Alaska that you wanted to.
And but we could get there.
And what was your favorite trip, you know? In terms of, you say to somebody that from Puerto Rico who's going to Alaska, and they could go anywhere really, and because they had the money and the flights or the boats or whatever. What would be the dream? Tough to recommend. Depends on the person.
Sure, because some of them wouldn't
do. But wildlife lover, let's say.
Okay, well then there are three places I would go. I would go to Brooks Camp out at Katmai, where you see all the bears.
Right.
And there's that famous picture that I think has been in National Geographic and everywhere of Brooks Falls and the salmon going up at the Big Bear is just waiting.
Right.
And then up to Denali, but not just the drive into the park, but to take the plane and fly around the mountains and in through the mountain and then land on one of the glaciers.
One of the glaciers, okay.
And then probably I love the Kenai Peninsula, the Homer, Seldovia area, taking a boat trip out. I mean, to me, Homer is one of the most beautiful places ever.
Okay, tell me about Homer, because I'm not familiar with
Homer that. Homer is at the tip of the Kenai Peninsula, and of course there's land on the other side, but there's a beautiful bay, Kachemak Bay, and the mountains. It's a fishing community.
Okay.
It's really lovely, and from there you can go out halibut fishing, for instance. That's where they bring in the huge halibuts. I'm surprised there are any more still in the ocean.
Yeah.
Or salmon fishing.
They're becoming very expensive these days.
Oh, yeah.
Well, almost prohibitively.
It's a wonderful fish.
Yeah,
you know, halibut
yeah.
and salmon. A plug. Friends do not let friends eat farmed fish.
Okay, okay.
The wild, natural Alaska fish.
Now, you know, besides you know, Alaska, you and this group that we have is the group of Harvard Museum of Natural History, and we've gone on one other trip to Vietnam, and one of the reasons we've chosen this one to Orion is because of the sophisticated and knowledgeable travelers like you that we run into, which we end up learning more from our fellow travelers, or just as much as from the guides. You have traveled all over continuously, and you look back over these different travels. First of all, your take of Orion as compared to other places. What has surprised you? You've met your expectations. What is your take on your trip to Orion compared to other places?
Probably almost the excessive friendliness. They're not pushy, but the extreme friendliness of the people and coming up and wanting to talk. And I don't know how many people said, "We love you, we don't care what our government says,"
right.
Ignore that, we love you, a kind of thing. So very, very friendly. And of course, I knew it was a huge country and it had a lot of different geographical areas, and it's beautiful. The mountains and some of the valleys. It was interesting to see the nomads, because we were very lucky where we saw them during their migration.
Right, right.
Several different tribes.
And of things that you feared, or you know, that you look and you say, "Hey, I didn't expect this, and I wish it was a little bit different." What is there anything in that regard?
No, I wasn't at all afraid, or I wouldn't come. That's not quite true. If I'd been a little bit afraid, I would have come. If I'd been a lot afraid, I would still be in Anchorage. But the only thing that bugged me was the clothes restriction for women. For one thing, I followed the directions of Mir and Harvard to the letter, which turned out to be far too conservative. So the first thing I had to do was go out and buy two new tops so I wouldn't roast to death.
Right, right. Yeah,
yeah.
It's for the listeners in Puerto Rico, basically the instructions were that the women had to wear the full length, at least below the knees, up to the ankles. And
pants, because you couldn't show your ankles.
And of course, black was the indicated color. And so most of my wife and you and everybody arrived with very long dresses and covered completely their head and all in black. And then lo and behold, well, there are restrictions that have to be met. But there's some lot of color
and I bought a red tunic.
I think Pinky, my wife, ended up buying some like five different tunics, very colorful.
She's got on this morning.
She's got this morning. She got so things are were not, but yet, in terms of the separation that takes place with respect to women, it's still kind of surprising, and they.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous. The one thing that bugged me. Of course, when I go to any Islamic town, or I go anywhere, I'm always dressed conservatively and appropriate norms and all of that. That's one thing that what bugs me. Like, a couple of people were struggling to get off the bus, and the driver didn't help them, not because he was not helpful, but because he wasn't allowed to even give us a hand.
Right.
The guy could because of all of his dealings with foreigners. But I thought, I also saw some other people who could have used a little assist, not just tourists, but
right.
the
right.
Iranian women. And I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
Right.
That's
right.
not common sense.
Okay. Well, listen, we have to take a break. We'll be right back after this break.